You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
Number 178, K16 Solutions, interview with Thomas Waite. Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. Well, we're in the midst of summer, so that was a teaser from the Summer Concerto from Vivaldi's The Four Seasons. So stay tuned for the full piece at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. For my main topic today, I'll be interviewing Dr. Thomas Waite. He's the CEO and founder of K16 Solutions. Now, I really like to find new, interesting companies and products in the e-learning space, and K16 seems to fit in its own niche. A very unusual company. I'll briefly describe them. Quote, K16 Scaffold Designer is the industry's first cloud-hosted, fully integrated course development tool that automates manual processes and improves efficiency for instructional designers and faculty. Scaffold products are integrated with Canvas, Blackboard, Moodle, Brightspace, and Sakai, end quote. So we discuss the background of Dr. Waite and the history of K16. There are two main products now, Scaffold Designer and Scaffold Migration. Whether you should migrate or rebuild courses. They're a relatively new company, so the migration that they do most often these days is between two of the biggest LMSs, as you might guess. But they also have customers in the K-12 arena and OPMs, online program management companies. We talk about working in e-learning ecosystems as opposed to just an LMS. We talk about AI, machine learning, and algorithms as applied to their products. And their tidbit about their newest product, which is a faculty management system. So I think you'll find the discussion interesting. Certainly check out the links I have in my show notes. They have some interesting videos that give you a good feel for what their products do. So without further ado, here's my interview with Thomas Waite. Thomas, thank you so much for agreeing to speak with me today about K16 Solutions. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about yourself and how the company got started.
Rod, it's my pleasure, and thank you. And we've actually been listening to your work, so it's actually pretty cool to be on here today, so thank you. So K16 Solutions, core team of us that go back 18, 19 years. I do share with people, and I don't mind sharing today, what's kept us together is a no ego, no title, and a no jerk rule. And I will use the nice jerk word. There are other words that are used, Rod, but I'll just use the no jerk rule and the team. And you know, when people hear that, they think it's contrived or made up or something new. It has not changed in all these years. There's a humility and an elegance and a grace to this team, frankly, that I love. My background, a little before that, is simply, and don't panic when I say where I'm at in the family. I won't go through where I was born and raised, but one of the young ones of seven, and raised by a combat Marine, and also a lovely mom who kept us all in order. And I share that because I think some humility carried through from that upbringing of a good, close, happy family that's kind of carried through to the team. I guess it's something I've wanted around me, or I've wanted from a team because I had that in my family. I think that's been a business advantage, frankly, and all of us agreeing to stay humble with one another, to serve one another first. And I think in academics, Rod, it's been pretty important. I find the ego to be a very destructive force in business, in corporations, and it's gotten its way into academics, as you know too, with your background. So I think it's a refreshing group at K16 that has agreed to come together in this manner. There's no pride of authorship. There's no proprietary anything. We wear all the hats, And again, this isn't just, you know, hey, this is a new startup. It's K16 Solutions, and here we are to do these things. It's, Rod, it's been that way almost two decades with the core team.
You're the founder of K16 Solutions, correct?
Correct.
And so how did you obviously there was a problem that you identified as a market niche. So how did that come about that you decided to develop this particular company?
Perfect. Great question. Thank you. So we, the team that was together stayed together, a core group, you know, some left, some came, some went, that kind of thing. But there are two co-founders, Mary Nesbitt, who's been kind of a key right hand of mine, much to her delight some days and maybe some days not to her delight, wrangling me in for 18 years. And Jordan Scheid, who in my view is a savant programmer, a master of multiple programming languages, algorithms, and machine learning, a very rare skill set in one programmer. And of course, he has his people and Mary has her people. And Rod, we came together. You know, my next step at the time, I thought small college presidency. I was being recruited. I was talking to search firms. And it wasn't so much of getting out of what we were creating with online superstructures, which were some of the largest in the country. But the goal was, where's the quality? Where's the academic quality? What's the student going through? That was always our basis. And as Mary Nesbitt, partner and co-founder, would tell me day in and day out, until maybe at times it would just be our mantra, put the student at the center of our decision. Usually it'll turn out right. So in doing that, one of the problems we saw was, you know, how are you creating courses within a current LMS? And how are you moving from one LMS to another? You know, there's some dated elements to some of the LMSs. There's HTML constraints and problems. Hot instructional designers, cutting-edge instructional designers are not creating their courses in the LMS. They're uploading and downloading and trading templates, and they have a process, and it's usually a manual process. And really the brainchild of Peter Deltz, one of our top engineers and a gentleman that backs up Jordan. Peter was creating a course designer, and it's become scaffold designer. So, Rod, it's a way to simply supercharge an LMS, to create a course in any LMS and centrally manage it through scaffold designer. So that was scaffold designer. And by the way, I think the fun thing about it, to share is that if you pull up an instance of Scaffold Designer, Rod, you can pick your LMS and push the course simultaneously to multiple LMSs. So
very cool.
Peter and Jordan, their brainchild is wonderful, and we've simply been the academic support.
So that came first before you added on the service to
migrate.
And just to give my audience a taste of what it looks like to migrate without your product, and why is that an issue? Most LMSs, I would think, have built-in ways to migrate course from another LMS.
Okay, great. I'm laughing a little because, you know, you and I have not had this talk before, and I certainly, in not speaking with you before, did not know that question was coming. But it's a bit of a softball, but I'm gonna take a swing at it. So if you're currently migrating, I've done four LMS migrations myself, and the team and other people listening have been through migrations from one LMS to another. The math of moving from one LMS to another is simply the math. It's going to be anywhere from 4 hours to 15, 20 hours per course, depending on the course, depending on the complexity. You're going to pull up two screens, and you're going to move each course element from one screen to the next, from one LMS to the next, using and uploading and downloading multiple templates and documents. You are a faculty member doing this. You are a subject matter expert doing this, which is not always the same as a faculty member from an instructional design point of view. You are an instructional designer doing this, or maybe even an administrator doing this. And when you're doing this, it's an extremely manual process. It's the way it's done, and it's what exists. Now, some prominent LMSs might say, well, we can move you in common using common cartridge or bulk to where you're bringing over all the courses. That's true. And you can call that an automated process. I do not view it as such, and I'm being as polite as I possibly can. Rod, it doesn't account for any of the quality checks. It doesn't account for all the work the faculty member has to do to follow up. And it doesn't account for what's going to happen with the student experience if someone didn't do their quality checks. It's a very manual, arduous, punishing process to go from one LMS to the other. That is until now. Again, Peter, Jordan, and Vince and the key team has used APIs and now LTI to bring about an automated process of moving one course from one LMS to another. Let's just say Blackboard to Canvas or Canvas to Blackboard to be equal to both. Again, that math, if you remember back, the math is, 4 to 20 hours, give or take, or common cartridge in bulk, and then you've got to check every course, which takes hours. We can move one course both directions in 40 seconds to a minute, 98% accuracy with an exception log that you can click on exactly what is or is not coming over properly, and it'll take you right to the link.
I've been involved with migrations before, and you'll see the exception log, and you think, oh my God, there's 300 exceptions,
Yes.
where do I start?
Yes, now.
And oftentimes you might say, well, maybe you're better off just starting from scratch in the native LMS.
Exactly. And that's what a lot do. And it's not some institutions like that, they do it with a little bit of a snicker because they want the faculty member to start over, rebuild the course. Maybe the course is stale. They're usually not. Faculty are honorable people doing honorable work, and it's a noble adventure education. So they are doing the right thing most of the time. But you're right. The start over process, because the migration can be so punishing, it can be better to start over, but you didn't save any time and you really didn't save any expense doing so until now. And by the way, given that speed of moving one course either direction in and out of Scaffold, you can do it simultaneously. Say you want to move 500 or 1,000, same thing, same time frame. If you want to go over 1,000, you can risk throttling the server a little bit. You might get throttled, so you have to, take them in batches of 500 or 1,000. But you're literally talking a major university taking 12 months to 24 months, where we can do it in days to weeks.
Wow.
At best.
Yeah, I could see where that would be very useful.
Rod, actually, we in our demos, some people have not believed it, and we've had to demo multiple times. It's been kind of fun, actually, to go through that.
Now, it would seem to me that your product would be very valuable to an LMS. So have you had many offers to license your technology?
Yes. And since the press release and since our new videos have come out in the last few weeks, a lot of various and sundry offers, even just to flat out buy us. We're not for sale. I'll proclaim it here with Rod and your wonderful work, but we'll take those negotiations as they come. But we're looking to build because we are insiders. We're the ones who have done the work, who are manually doing the work, who are doing the teaching, learning to be on the team. Not only that kind of no ego, no title, humility balance, you have to come from the classroom. You have to come from programming. So it's been special.
I was taken by the name of your company. It really captures it, K16. So I suspect that you have clients in the K-12 arena as well. Can you give us a breakdown of who your customers are?
Sure. Right now, the big push, the strategy, I don't want to say, No, it would sound wrong to say, well, here I go, I'm going to say it. It would sound wrong to say we stumbled into this OPM strategy. We really didn't. We had a behind-the-scenes meeting relative to going college to college, and people come into our website, which has been effective, and we have gone individual colleges. But what has been key is the OPM, the online program management groups, doing some wonderful work out there and helping colleges to deploy and grow online and blended learning. Rod, in one instance, in one example, an OPM is servicing, let's just say, 20 schools or 30 schools or 40 or more, right? So they can bring in Scaffold and they can help move courses and design courses using Scaffold in a centralized fashion. That's been our big break right out of the chute, is going down the OPM strategy, because all of a sudden we're going to hit, you know, 50 colleges at once versus going college by college. And for a startup, we want the bandwidth. Since we are native in the cloud, all the others and some of the names we've mentioned today are on the cloud. Natively being built in the cloud is a big difference. Awesome. We are infinitely scalable. So right now it's a big advantage. K-12, as you can see from the name, K-16, K-12 is coming. And we plan on going into K-12 with various LMS providers that are going into that space, and also international, by the way, which is a burgeoning market. Relative to, for example, Moodle being, you know, 50%+ of the market out there. So there's wonderful market share internationally that we plan on going after. And that's not a startup. And by the way, I'm considering us more fledgling now and not startup, but that's not being grandiose. That's simply strategy relative to, you know, where the LMS activity is happening, that we can simply make it a lot easier and more robust.
How long have you been in business then as K-16?
We started programming September 3rd, 2018, even though, as I've shared, the team's been together for so long, working together to get this off the ground much before that. We were a year and a half together doing odd jobs, working nights and weekends to stay together and pull all this together to get ready for the anchor investor coming in and getting us kicked off with official payroll and programming September 3rd, 2018. And we kept our noses down and did our thing through that fall. And since fall, since Christmas, January, as the products were coming available this spring, it's just been a tornado of activity.
I bet. I don't know if you happen to notice the keynote that I shared in my podcast from Phil Hill, where he talks about learning platforms. You know, we used to always say the LMS, but really, I mean, when you look at all the integrations we have with third-party add-ons, it's really an ecosystem. And how do you see that affecting your business? Do you see other opportunities in terms of making everything work together?
It's a brilliant question. And I did see the podcast, and I do know Phil's work. And we do follow it. So perfect question, brilliant question. And it is developing. It is morphing into an ecosystem, in my view. And we've actually, you know, publicly and privately have been talking about an education ecosystem. And that's what this is building. So it is a platform approach. I did speak to one provider in one school last week, one example, where the school literally has 123 different elements coming into their platform. Yeah. 123. So yeah. To central, I know, I'm not, I know they're all good tools. I know a lot of them, and you do too, but is that the solution for the student? I don't know. That's not for me to say here. What is for me to say, and you, as you know, we played our role in pioneering this ed tech space. Integration is key, but integration is not a common skill set. And these legacy systems, Rod, are problematic. You know, when you're talking 8 to 10 year old code, you can't just go in and rewrite. You can't stack. So there has to be new programming. Now, a lot of the big box systems, a lot of these legacy systems, if you want to call them that, you know, they buy and repackage. So I am looking over my shoulder. I know the offers have already started coming, but it's not the answer to be just repackaged into an existing fractured legacy system. It is time for something new, and we all know it. Your audience knows that I know it, and you know, we do feel we're at the forefront of that.
Yeah, it sounds like an excellent position to be in. I think on your website, you, or maybe at the outset, you mentioned AI. How do you use AI, if I got that straight? How does that work?
I'm smiling as I answer that, because the acronyms and the buzzwords do fly around, don't they,
yes.
Relative to AI? I think there's another acronym you can toss around a little. One might have a B tied to it, and the other might have an S to it. So what I mean by that, before I offend everyone, is there is an algorithm. An algorithm is an elegant, beautiful, artistic equation that has data coming in, and there's an output on the other end. Now, you can manipulate and write the equations accordingly for what you want the data outputs to be. that's an algorithm, and algorithms run the world. And I'm only dangerous enough to say about that, especially if with Jordan and teammates listening, who really write their own algorithms, who really understand Bayesian algebraic logic and equations and statistics, to put these outputs in one end, run them through the equation, and get something out the other end. That's a whole nother level. I share that with you because machine learning is taking your algorithm upon advanced algorithms. So there's a process, there's an evolution. Here's an equation, but here's an algorithm, which is going to automate input and output. And then machine learning, which is going to go so far as to make some decisions with your output. Now, AI, general AI, and this isn't a lesson in this, and people listening are going to know way more than I do, so I'll stop with this. But relative to general AI, basic AI, and even advanced artificial intelligence that's in the education space or in these legacy systems, in my view, not yet. It's not there. Those that might advertise, it's good marketing buzz. Hey, check us out. We have AI. Well, you might have good machine learning, but that might be about as far as it goes. So that's an area we're not in yet. It's the future. But right now, what the people doing the work in the colleges need, which has been us, sitting there creating courses, working with students day in and day out, working with faculty, being an administrator who's trying to run these invoices and find dependable software, the answer is integration. The answer is elegance. The answer is simplicity. The answer is dependability. The answer is affordability. That's where we're at right now. So I won't go so far as to push the AI envelope yet. And those in the ed tech space that are doing so need to be careful of their marketing spiel, in my view, a little bit.
Right. No, I certainly agree. Well, you are a young company, but is there anything you can tell us about other directions or other enhancements or products that you're working on, or is it too early?
No, it's not too early. Great question. Again, thank you. What's coming next is a automated faculty management system. It is beautiful and simple. Those that are scheduling faculty and matching them to the schedule are doing, you know, they're on proprietary systems. They're syncing it with their SIS, you know, loading with grades and students into the LMS. So between proprietary systems and Excel, it's a very manual process at a lot of prominent universities, and they know who they are listening right now. This is a module we've dabbled in before, and it is with new language, new algorithm coming to the forefront within the next few months. Scaffold faculty. So Scaffold migration, Scaffold designer, and Scaffold faculty is coming next to really simplify and predict faculty scheduling. There is decision making. There is intelligence in this algorithm that will make decisions to help schedule. And not about being grandiose or us laughing our way to the bank, which is not our goal. Our goal is education. We've sacrificed for it. And so I share that relative to to Scaffold faculty, because this is going to allow schools to do more with less. You can't afford the overhead of multiple schedulers in multiple colleges. You need to centralize. And by them centralizing, Rod, they can use this elegant little piece that's coming out next, Scaffold faculty.
Interesting. Well, we'll keep looking for it. Well, listen, I think this has been a great conversation. It sounds like you're a niche that I wasn't aware of that existed out there. And it seems like, you've got a lot of potential. So I think I want to be respectful for your time and my audience time. And perhaps we'll close it out, unless you have some final words you'd like to leave us with.
I'll just leave it at that. It's fun to be a part of your audience, and it's more fun to be here with you today. So I thank you. And as I remind myself daily, what is the faculty going through? What's the student going through? What's their experience? That's not altruism. It's not cliche. It's where the work is happening. And that's what we're about. Who's doing the work? What do they need from a ed tech tool? That's all it's about. It's at its simple core, Rod. So thank you, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Thomas. Great talking to you.
You too. Thank you much.
So that's it for today's podcast. Certainly see the show notes for links to some of the things we talk about, and stay tuned for the full Concerto No. 2 in G minor by Vivaldi. Until next time, have a great week.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.